I suppose the other thing, oh, it's looking down here, just some ideas, childhood, religion, leisure activities. Again, there was, I think, one of... That's a point, yes, it's just triggered a memory there. Having said that I didn't get out much, that is true, but however, once I was four, my younger brother was born. Now, again, he was born, I think, in the Fielding Johnson Hospital. Yes, he was, now I think about it. Of course, I remember going there. I wasn't allowed to see my mother, of course. My grandmother used to go to see her, and I used to have to play outside and feed the chickens on the Regent Road. But I remember then, because I was staying with my grandmother, I remember my mother then came home with this baby. Now, of course, it hadn't been told in great detail what's happening, and she stood at the top of the stairs in the house, which I remember vividly, and said, "Look what I brought back for you. I've got a little brother." And I thought, My one comment to that was, I don't like the look of that, and I just ran away. I think, in fact, it may have had a lasting impact on my relationship with my younger brother, because I didn't really consider he was a suitable human being until I discovered when he was 17 or 18 that we could actually go out and have a beer together. He was always my little squirt brother. When he was born, this meant that there were two young children in the house, and one of the reasons you could say why we didn't go out was because my mother had to stay in the house to answer the phone. During surgery hours, my father employed a receptionist who would take the phone messages and any written messages for calls. But once the surgery was over and the receptionist left, it was up to my mother to answer the phone and take in messages. And so this meant that she was in fact very tied to the house, hence me being tied to the house. And what happened once I had my brother was born, my mother, or my father, arranged for a local schoolgirl, I think she must have been about 16 at the time, to take my brother out for a walk in the park in his pram, and I went along. And this really was my first sort of excursion, I suppose, out of the house in a big way. And we used to go every Saturday, we used to walk from Melbourne Street, 56 Melbourne Street, up to Spinney Park and around Spinney Park. And that's where I discovered swings. And I used to remember vividly being on the swings when I was 5, 6 and 7. And that was my one sort of enjoyable outing in the week, to go out with my brother. He was in the pram, and I used to walk along holding onto the pram. And then when we got to know the family, they lived in Dale Street, a very nice family. If it rained, the girl who took us out used to say, "Well, we'll go to my mum's house." And so we went to Dale Street. This was a very different house, of course, from what I recollect, in the sense that there would be two downstairs rooms and a small back kitchen. I remember it being very sort of dark colours and very cluttered with furniture. But she always used to make us welcome. We'd sit there at the table, and that's where I learned to play snap with cards with the babysitter, my brother being stuck in the pram. And I always remember those times of great affection, actually, because that was the one time I got out and went around. And in fact, I still know the lady and her husband, and they've had two children of their own. And I remember the lady very well. In fact, my parents got to know this family very well, and the girl, in fact, lost her father when he was quite young, and my father gave her away at her wedding. Getting about, of course, I mentioned my father had a Ford Popular car. He got hold of this after the war, second hand, and was able to use it. And there was a garage attached to the house, a very small garage. But of course, he needed it all for his work, and so we very rarely went out on this unless we're going for our summer holidays. And so to get into town, we caught the bus. Trams weren't around, they'd all disappeared, although a lot of tram lines were still down. And I remembered you used to see all the tram lines going into the main depot on Humberston Gate. And we used to catch the bus outside the house, basically, on Melbourne Road to get into town. And again, my mother, she used to go shopping in town. I can't remember whether she did this when I was very young or whether it developed as I got a bit older. She used to go into town every Thursday to shop and meet her mother in town. And I used to go along with them. and that would always be an opportunity. My gran would spoil me and I could have a soft drink and a nice chocolate bun of some sort.
Can you remember the price of bus fares then?
I have a recollection that there must have been tuppence or threepence, although that might have been tuppence and threepence when I used to get the bus, because when I went out to live on Scraptoft Lane, I didn't have to walk from Stonegate to Scraptoft Lane. I used to catch the bus. No, the bus fare there totally might have been about... I have recollections of tuppence and threepence bus tickets, I think, actually, which in modern money... Oh, Lord. Well, tuppence and threepence... Oh, 1 and 2p... maybe 3p would be quite a distance for a bus fare. But even when I used to do... This would be half fare when I was sort of 9, 10, 11 and 12. I'm sure ninepence or under a shilling would have seen me from London, Stoneygate into the city centre up to Scraptoft Lane near Scraptoft Village. Probably 5 pennies each way, each journey, because one was a city bus and one was a county bus, the Birmingham Midland and Motor Company, known as the Midland Red. That's right. Transport shopping. I recollect very little about the sort of authority figures like the police and things. And of course, I'm far too young to remember the war. I remember the tail end effects of the war, I think, in the sense of the rationing books and the blackouts. And the Polish community being here, and maybe that things weren't very plentiful, and things. How is Highfield? What is my? How does Highfield compare? I think the thing to say now is that, of course, that I've seen Highfield over a 40-45 year period of time, and what I have seen is that I have seen it degenerate into an area of... I can remember 10 or 15 years ago... I should probably just add in here to clarify. I lived in Leicester until I was 13. I was then sent away to school and then went away to university and didn't come back to Leicester until 1972. So... I left Leicester in 59. I would have come back in school holidays 59 to 69. 64, sorry. And then through my early qualifying. Then I came back to work in Leicester in 72. The main thing that had happened by then was that, of course, the St. Peter's estate had been developed. And I remembered hearing snippets about how this development was going on. And I remember seeing it knocked down, of course. And then suddenly all these flats and high-rise flats being built. And I was actually working in the area, of course, when the Charles Street area was developed, flattened and rebuilt. It's gone through sort of mixed phases, because the old Victorian part of Highfields went into sort of somewhat of decay and decline, maintenance and upkeep. But I would say in the last 10 or 15 years, I think it's really improved no end. I think that the houses really have taken on a new lease of life, and obviously a lot of money and effort and time has been put into keeping the decoration up, pedestrianising some of the streets, and really making it... Well, I think the community that live here now, of course, keep it a very lively vibrant place. The sad thing, really, is the new estates, because I remember when I was first working here, they were quite new, really, and they were really quite pleasant places to live in. And I remember some patients saying to me, I remember, you know, this is a lovely flat, and I'm really pleased to live here. And then they seem to have gone down into decline, so that we now have the old Victorian part of Highfields is good and solid and looks nice and pleasant. And the more modern part really is has had to be completely redone to try to make it pleasing to the eye. I can well imagine some of the children who are living here must have the same problems that I had when I was younger, in the sense that there isn't somewhere where you can go out to play. I mean, I could probably have played on the streets quite safely when I was young. It's just that I didn't have anyone to play on the streets with. Because I know a lot, I think a lot of the local children used to play on the streets, because the traffic was so much less. But I wasn't allowed out to play with them anyway, so therefore I wouldn't to be able to do that. But I think that the streets really are so congested now with traffic. I think the striking things I would say now with Highfields now is that the traffic is so congested. That's the most striking thing, really. And I suppose the other thing is that now that instead of when I was young, it was the local Leicester people and the Polish people were living here. Now it's the local Leicester people and the large Asian community living here, really, that's the different thing about it. But still a very fascinating area, I find, to work in. And I have a lot of affectionate memories about living here. What other questions do you have?
Can you remember any mosques being built here or any there?
Well, yes, I mean, I remember them building the Keythorpe Street Mosque when they knocked down, I think it was an old factory, wasn't it, and built it up. And then building up the one on the very new mosque on the... I mean, I remember, of course, is the old workhouse, Hillcrest, being knocked down and then building Moat Community College there. I mean, I can remember quite... I have pictures in my mind's eye of a lot of these places and being used. And sometimes I've actually gone around and taken photographs of it in the 70s, though, this is more. From what I can see with the locality, of course, is another thing. Of course, there's the Melbourne Cinema just down the way here. Now, I probably have been to the Melbourne Cinema once or twice. But whether it's because there were never suitable films for a young child to see, or whether my parents didn't approve of me going to the Melbourne Cinema, I'm not quite sure. But I didn't really go to the Melbourne Cinema very much. But I think what we've had is a change of use of these buildings. It's now being converted into some Muslim, whether it's going to be converted into a mosque or for some Muslim purpose anyway.
Academy.
And there's a Baptist church opposite, and that, of course, is the Mandir, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hindu temple. That's right. And then there's the Wesley Hall. That is still, I think, essentially a Christian organisation, but it's been divided up in more community use now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you've seen has been the the large institutional buildings of schools, churches and things being taken over and quite sensibly a change of use being made of them, really. The Polish community use the church on the Melbourne Road. St. Peter's and St. Hilda's and St. Saviour's, I think that are sort of the few remaining old Leicester people sort of still go to them. They have a very small congregation of St. Hilda's, I think. But I think that the Afro-Caribbean Christian groups have taken over St. Peter's and used St. Peter's a lot. I'm not quite sure about St. Saviour's Church, who actually goes there a lot very much.
When you were growing up, were there a lot of Afro-Caribbean people here at the time?
I can't honestly remember seeing a lot of Afro-Caribbean people when this would be in the 40s and the early 50s. I can't remember seeing them a lot around living around here. But there must have been a few beginning to move in then, because I think this is the time that they were advertising for people to come and work in Leicester. But I must have recollect, I can't recollect them suddenly, gosh, you know, there's an Afro-Caribbean family moving down the way. And I think this is probably because I was very... looking at my sort of upbringing, I was very isolated from a lot of things that happened around. There were some selected things that I might come into contact with, but otherwise I was insulated from what was really going on around me.
Right.
Partly through youth, and I think partly from the background I came from, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you remember your parents going to the cinema? So how did they?
Parents, yes, they used to always go to the cinema as a regular thing on I think my father's half day on the Thursday. They would go into town. They would tend to go to the big cinemas in town rather than the small local cinemas in the residential areas. They would go into town to the cinema usually. That was about the only sort of thing I remember them going up, unless they went to friends' houses, really, for a social thing. And usually I was left with a babysitter, this girl who used to come push us up and my brother up to Spinney Park.
So I wouldn't ever sort of go out to any social functions that they went to, unless it was to my grandparents, the social function, then I might have been taken there and I might have slept over at my grandparents. I spent quite a bit of time with my grandmother at times, being looked after by her, and I remember her with great affection. Yes. But, that's right.
So you don't really remember taking part in the carnival or going to see the Eid fair or...
They didn't really happen at all. Now, the thing is since I've come back to live in Leicester, I have... I've become aware that these things happen, because when I've lived in Leicester, I've tended to live either in the Scraptoft area or the Evington area or in Stonygate, where I now live. And, to be honest, I haven't been to the carnival, and I know that there is the big Eid fair, but it's often sometimes been that, again, with my working, I've not had the time to be able to go. But I've always been very conscious of these things, a little bit like Diwali and Navratri and the festivals that we have here in Leicester. And I think I'm always quite proud of the fact that whenever I go out of Leicester and they're sort of saying, what time of year is that? And I say, oh, that was during Ramadan, or was that during Passover? Because I think we have such a multicultural city here that you have to be aware of Easter, Christmas, Ramadan, Diwali, Navratri, Vaisakhi, everything.
That's right.
To tune in, because there's always something happening here.
Yeah.
And I think as time goes on, actually, I've decided I've got over my shyness. I think I'm going to try and get into some of these things a bit more. Having recently been to a Jewish entertainment evening recently. And I think it's as time goes on, I'm now beginning to have the confidence to sort of involve myself in some of these festivals more.
And how did you used to celebrate Christmas as a child? Is it any different than today?
The Christmas... I, in fact, can't recollect having many Christmases here in this house in Highfields. It would usually be a family party at my grandparents'. Those are the sort of Christmases that are stuck in my mind. It would be a family party at in the Evington area, and in their house, which is a fairly biggish house, and would go there and have a Christmas day there. They didn't have a television that I can recollect either. I think the first televisions that I used to see at all was at my father's parents' house. They lived in Nottinghamshire. And we used to go, and that was the television that I used to see for the first then. Very small screen, 12-inch screen, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But the Christmas celebration, that was the one. And then it would be the family year would revolve around Christmas celebration with my grandparents. Easter used to be a shared holiday between my mother's cousin's family, who lived in Glasgow, and us living here in Leicester. And one year we'd go to Glasgow for a long weekend, and one year they would come and stay with us. And then there would be a summer holiday, a two-week summer holiday in August, where we always used to go out to the east coast to Sheringham and stay in a boarding house for, say, a fortnight. And that was quite a trek. The surgery would finish. My father would finish the on-call sort of early Saturday morning. He might even do a surgery, and we'd all get packed up. And by midday, Saturday afternoon, we'd drive off to the Norfolk coast and stay out there for a fortnight in a boarding house and then come back. And then it would be Christmas. And those are the highlights that would stick in my mind, really. Christmas, the Easter period, the August holiday, and then Christmas again, really.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me anything about the medical methods in those days?
I don't know how... The thing was that when I was young, the NHS had just started. And I think my grandfather and father had a very big practice, and they were just very busy. And they went through this very difficult period in the 1950s. And in fact, I sometimes wonder how on earth they survived the work, really. They were very busy. It was a lot of patients needed to be seen for certifications and medicines. How effective some of those medicines were then, I'm not quite sure. Of course, penicillin had come in, and my father had met penicillin in the Far East from the Americans. I think he found it a bit confusing with a British invention being used by the Americans, and he hadn't got any at all when he was on a British ship. It was a very busy time. They did a lot of midwifery, obstetrics, home confinements. The midwife would be calling round with cases. That was the one thing I remember. It was a busy midwifery practice as well. And they were just generally very busy. What exactly they were doing and not doing, of course, I think one need to look back and sit and study and think about. Maybe it's too recent for me to have a proper impression of. But I certainly know that it gave me a lasting impression to be frightened of a telephone. Because invariably, if you answered the telephone, it was somebody on the other end who wanted a visit or wanted the doctor or some disaster had occurred. And I just learned never to touch the telephone. I just didn't want to know about a telephone. Mm. If it rang and I was the only person around, I'd just run and hide. Pretend I wasn't there. Because, of course, the house had a telephone from a very early time.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. Yes. Those Highfields when I was young.
Right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I know how precious it has been.
Not at all.
Yes.